Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Nate, and with me as always, our moderator, AJ.
What up, boys?
Tone, co-host Tone, is out one more week, unfortunately, but like we've mentioned in the past, that big day's coming up, so we're super excited for him, super excited to be there. So once again, congratulations to Tone and Mama Liz.
Congrats.
And before I do start this episode off, on a bit of a sombering note, I just want to throw my prayers and thoughts out to everyone in Texas. It just happened as of, I want to say, an hour or so ago. We won't talk too much about it, but I do want to send my condolences out to the families who were affected in the catastrophe in Texas that happened this afternoon. So, like I said, we have a super fun episode. I don't think I said that yet, but we do. We have, was it the Charles Schwab Open coming up?
Yes, sir.
We are halfway through the Western and Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA. We have a 3-0 lead somewhere and a little 2v2 or a 2-on-2 series on the other side of the NBA. But I think we're going to go ahead and start off with a new little segment we had. If you listened last week, then you'll enjoy this one. Refreshing. All right, AJ.
All right.
Tell us.
It's what's on tap. So for me, myself, man, I know you know.
Oof.
It's been a fun, interesting, exciting back-to-back weekends for myself.
Very true.
So I'm rocking with the NA, non-alcoholic beverage. Just I'm going to the classics. I'm going Mountain Dew.
Very nice.
Can't
very
beat
nice.
It. What about you? What's on tap for you today, my guy?
I got a very interesting one this evening. Unfortunately, yeah. If you tuned in last week, we had a little wager that we didn't announce about our DraftKings for the PGA Championship. I ended up coming in last, but it wasn't followed up by too much better performances from my two co-hosts and moderator here. We finished at the very bottom, I believe, didn't we?
Yes. You brothers almost, in arms.
Yep. I can't believe you didn't take Wills out of Taurus. I said it at the beginning of the show. But like I said, I lost my very first punishment. AJ was nice enough to bring it over. It was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
So if you're not aware of what this is, I can explain it. But he brought me a chocolate buzz ball.
A ball of fun.
A ball of vomit, almost. I don't know if you've ever been on a flight before, if you've ever flown Spirit. These are all over it.
Yes.
If you want to spend $22 for the worst headache of your life. But yes, I'm going to be drinking that throughout the show. But right now, I am sipping on something pleasant. I was with the Truly Lemonades last week. I'm with the Truly Fruit Punches this week, or Truly Punch.
Okay.
One of our co-host Tone's favorite.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm sipping on a Citrus Punch, which is one of my favorite. But that's what's on tap for me. So what's on tap for us?
So as far as the show that we have today, we got a very exciting, fun interview that I'm pumped about. Someone that I consider a friend, a brother. We're going to be talking to Carlton Jackson, and he is a former Akron Zips quarterback. He also played for Morgan State at quarterback. So I'm going to talk to him about all things collegiate sports, transfer portal, recruiting, playing for the city of Akron, the place that we were born and raised in. So pumped to talk to him tonight. We're going to be recapping the NBA Conference Finals. In the East, we have Boston versus Miami. In the West, we have Golden State versus Dallas. Kind of get your takes on the series that we have thus far, see where we're at on those. We will be recapping the PGA Championship. As you mentioned, you took an L in DK.
Yeah, I put a lot of them out there, and it was just I didn't end up in the green numbers, unfortunately.
Yeah, so you'll be enjoying the buzz ball today. And lastly, speaking of DK, we're going to be giving our DKs for this weekend's golf tournament out the Charles Schwab Invitational.
Oh,
so
I said open. Good catch.
If you like golf, be sure to catch that at the end of our show. But that's what we have on tap for today.
Yeah, so I think without further ado, we'll go ahead and get you guys right into this interview.
All right, really excited for our interview today. I got someone that I consider a friend, a brother. We're going to be talking to Carlton Jackson today. And Carlton Jackson is from Pompano Beach, Florida. He went to Ely High School down in Florida. He won the state championship in 2002. I know him personally because he spent the first half of his career as the quarterback for the Akron Zips. He later transferred to Morgan State to play quarterback for the Bears. Carlton continues to stay involved with the game of football, teaching, developing with the youth of his community. And I'm really excited to dive into some of those deeper topics of the college football game itself and just to hear from the man himself. So, Carlton, thank you for joining us today. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. It's a pleasure to have you on the show today. Really appreciate your time. You know, for a few of those that might know, me, you, Dakota, his brother Tim, we go way back. So it's really awesome to catch up. And I know you're at work. I don't want to keep you too long, but I definitely am looking forward to asking you some of these questions, kind of just catching up and seeing where you're at today.
Sure, I'm all for it.
So the first thing I really want to just start off with is I kind of want to get an introduction to yourself. You know, you played college quarterback. I want to know how you fell in love with the game. Did you have someone in your household or someone in your community, or maybe was there just a favorite football player that you really looked up to? How did you get into the game of football?
I think I was born into the game of football, to be honest with you. I come from both sides of my family. I'm well known as far as being athletes from the men to the women.
Okay.
My dad was a pretty good athlete back in his playing days. All of my uncles on both sides, my cousins, my neighbors, my friends, that was just from the environment I grew up in, we just value football a whole lot. So I would say just from the start, you know, being able to, since I was able to go outside, or probably even prior to that,
yeah,
I was introduced to the game of football, and I was just, it just became something I just loved to do, and I just continued to do it because either did that or I don't know. You just, I don't know. If you weren't playing football, you probably was doing something you shouldn't have been doing.
Right, right.
So we stayed on the football field.
You mentioned being an athlete. Was it strictly football? Were there any other sports that you liked as a kid as well?
Yeah, I played basketball. Okay. I tried track. Shout out to Pompano Express. I tried running track growing up, but I wasn't on the faster side as a kid. I was more of a athletic, kind of quick, but I was never like considered a speedster.
Okay. All right.
So basketball and football. I wish I would have played baseball a little bit more, but basketball and football were my main two sports I played growing up.
Did you play basketball in high school?
Yeah. I actually went to the state Final Four in basketball too.
Oh yeah?
Nice.
Oh, right on.
Basketball 4 years at Blanchilly.
Hey. Yep.
All right. So speaking of high school football, as mentioned, you guys won the state title. It was your sophomore year, correct? 2002?
Yeah, I was a sophomore, young pup.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So one of the things that I'm really interested to learn about, you know, someone like Nate, who has no athletic bones in his body, me, myself, ooh, you know, we'll never know what getting recruited is all about. So I'm really interested to learn about the intricacies of the recruiting trail. And I know that a lot of times they say junior, senior year, it's going to be your most important years as far as recruiting. So let's kind of start at the end of your sophomore year, coming off of the state title. Let's jump into your junior, senior year and kind of take us into the process of recruiting. I know there's unofficial trips, official trips. Mm-hmm. There's, you're probably getting calls, emails, physical mail,
school visits,
right. Yeah,
all kinds of good stuff. So for those of us like myself who never got to experience that, tell us all about that process.
I would say coming off my sophomore year, like you said, we were state champions. First and only to this day, state championship that was at Blanchilly.
Congratulations on that.
That's still near and dear to the community and everyone, you know, all the players. But as far as the recruiting, as a sophomore, I was surrounded. I mean, literally, I was surrounded by top-notch D1 athletes from top to bottom. And I mean that sincerely. Like, we had literally the best players on that team. Like, preseason was more so of, like, this is the year this team is going to win state. They've been to the door at least 3 years in a row, and this was that year where all those seniors who were starters as sophomores who I actually got a chance to be a fan of. That's what's crazy about that. So a lot of people don't know that. When I was in eighth grade, I was literally watching the same exact team play at Ely on varsity.
Okay.
From a eighth grader, I played JV as a freshman, and I moved up. In my sophomore year, those sophomores who were starting on varsity were now seniors. So now I'm the starting quarterback on a team full of five-star athletes from offense to defense. And it was I wouldn't say it was big shoes to fill because, I mean, they had my back. You know what I mean? I was surrounded by talent, but that was the year I had to grow a lot. I grew a lot within my sophomore year because it was like kind of do or die for that senior class who's been expected to be state champions for 2 or 3 years prior to my sophomore year. So it was like that year was the year, and to actually succeed and see that come into fruition, that was awesome. Like, I really enjoyed that my sophomore season. Recruiting, I got a chance to see my sophomore year. Just to tell you a little about a story, we had a practice in the spring, right?
Yeah.
And it was literally pouring down raining where you couldn't see two feet in front of you. It was raining hard. I mean, extremely hard, but it was still like able to practice because it was just only rain. So we were still practicing. And I kid you not, it was probably about 15 to 25, like major D1 schools that did not leave the practice. They stood and watched us practice in the pouring rain. We had those kind of athletes.
Yeah.
So just to give you a hint, like, it's just some more insight on the type of players I was surrounded by. I mean, like, Tyrone Moss, he recently passed. Rest in peace to him. He was the nation's best running back. Still has pretty much all the records in Florida. I mean, he was truly a special talent. You know, he went on and played football at University of Miami. And he also played for the Cleveland Browns for a little bit. I don't know if his name rings a bell, but he actually had some time there. But he was a special talent. He just recently passed, so rest in peace to him.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Players like Clint Session, Andrew Bain, Terrence Smith, Terrence Walker. He's also a player that we had that died at a young age. So rest in peace to him also. But we also had I can name players, Jonathan Edwards, James Martin, Taraz McCray. Like, these are literally the best at what they did. Nick Alvarez, Walter McFadden, Omar Hill. I mean, the list goes on, man. And I'm not just saying that because those are teammates and guys that I know personally. These are real deal athletes. And, like, I mean, we won state because we really had the team to win the state championship, hands down.
All right. So, you know, you go through the recruiting process and ultimately you land at Akron. Mm-hmm. So my question for you, next question here is, as someone who's born and raised in Akron, and I invest a decent amount of money every year to go to the beaches in the summer, how does a kid from the beaches of Florida end up landing at Akron?
My story, how I ended up at Akron, I went to a camp my senior year at Ohio State, right?
Okay.
Okay.
A couple of my receivers, a few linemen came, but I think we were the only team that was kind of like that kind of stood out that people weren't used to seeing at this particular camp because we kind of bumped heads with some teams that were pretty good in Ohio.
Okay.
And, you know, they tried to make their presence felt. And for one team, Glenville, for sure. We got to know Glenville pretty well, and we did a lot of competing at that camp. So I had a pretty good showing. I was throwing. And I think, honestly, just thinking back on moments that of my career, that was the first time that I ever, like, lined up at receiver in front of, like, a college scout. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was throwing, like, because I had to, my receivers were phenomenal. Like, I had some of the best receivers. Ed McIntosh, Avery Holly, Carlton Sanders, Eddie Cameron, Norris. Man, I had some, Justin Bentley. I had some serious receivers that can really play the game. And a few of them were at the camp, so they were, you know, getting busy at receiver. I was throwing the ball, but I felt like, honestly, that I wasn't doing enough. Like, I was at the camp, I'm like, I'm just throwing, like, Brian Hartline, the receiver.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He was there. He had a broken leg. I got to know him pretty good.
Okay.
He was at the camp, but his leg was broken. Jamario O'Neal from Glenville, he went to Ohio State. Yep. A couple guys that I got, like, really acquainted with and end up taking a visit and seeing them again at the school. But while we were at the camp, I took it upon myself to go to wide receiver just to run around. Like, I mean, we're all athletes from South Florida. So it wasn't like I was trying to be discovered or just, I was just literally having fun, to be honest with you. And I went out there and did that. And they saw me do that. And I looked pretty good to them playing receiver. I caught some passes on some guys who were heavily recruited. And it was like, whoa, like, this guy can do some other things here. You know what I mean? So I didn't even expect, at that time, I hadn't really had a lot of offers at the time. Like, we went to this camp and with my coach, he shopped us around. We were at a lot of different camps that summer. We were all over the states. And I appreciate him for that, looking back, because he exposed us to a lot of different things and put us in front of the right people to be, you know, recognized and recruited properly. Although our school was recognized and they would come there. He took us to these specific places, Ohio State, North Carolina State, Wake Forest, Florida, University of Florida. We were all over Florida Atlantic University. Like, he took us to a lot of schools to, you know, to put us out there on the map so we can get more exposure. Definitely appreciate him for that. Coach Snead, shout out to Coach Snead. But at this Ohio State camp, like we were just talking about, I went out at receiver. And then when we got back to the hotel, like, we had the number one lineman in the entire nation my senior year too, Ronnie Wilson. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who's also a great friend of mine, and Ohio State, you name any school in the nation, he picked his school. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
He was the only lineman at a skill camp. Every camp, we went to Georgia Tech, now that I'm thinking about it, he was there, the only lineman, like, because they wanted to see him. Like, he was one of the guys that was highly recruited, like, very special talent. But he was there. So when they came back to the hotel, the coaches came back and they informed us that, you know, they wanted to speak to a certain group of players. And I was in that group, which was me and Ronnie Wilson. And that's when they offered me a scholarship to Ohio State.
Oh, wow.
But that's when they were saying, okay, but we're kind of unsure of what position you're going to play. You know, we like you at a couple of different things. We just want to get you here and see how things pan out. And me, I'm excited. You know, this is Ohio State. You know, I haven't had any major offers at the time. So I'm overly excited. You know what I mean? And we didn't commit there. We didn't verbally commit, but it was a solid offer. You know what I mean? So we went back. I didn't tell you how I ended up. That's how I ended up at Akron. While I was doing all that stuff, there were other schools there, like Miami, Ohio. All the MAC schools were at this camp. Yeah. Everyone was at the camp. And Coach Brookhart happened to be there. Talked me to the side. We had a conversation just about some things, and he actually coached some players that I played with on the state team that went to the University of Pittsburgh, a lineman that I had, Clint Session.
Yep.
He also got drafted. He played for the Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's very good too, but he played at University of Pittsburgh when Coach Brickard and, you know, the staff was over there. So he kind of, you know, knew some guys that I was aware of. I think Darryl Strong was at Pittsburgh at the time. Just a couple of guys that I knew that was at the program, and he knew what names to say to attract me to him. And, you know, he was very genuine. And I just thought Akron, you know, he told me he would be the head coach at Akron moving forward. And, you know, I was just, everybody was kind of having conversations, but for some reason, like, that kind of slipped out. I knew that he was kind of, like, really interested for some reason. Like, he really showed that he was interested. So, like I said, I went home. Then, we go through the season. And we actually went to the game before the state championship my senior year, too. We were 6 points away from another state championship appearance. So we would have went. We were at the game before the state championship.
Okay.
And I, you know, after getting offered by Ohio State, that's when all the offers just flowed in. And I think that's how it pretty much goes, you know, just to give you some insight on recruiting. Like if one top-notch school offers a kid, then the other schools, they just follow suit because they know they don't just. So after Ohio State, Michigan State, Kansas State, Syracuse, I wanted North Carolina State. I would have went there, but they didn't offer me a scholarship for some reason. But anyway, we got a chance to play them at Akron, too. We beat them. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we played them, actually. And I was heavily recruited by Tennessee State, too.
Okay.
HBCU, they were heavily recruiting me. And, you know, the MAC schools, the Bowling Greens, the Toledos, and Central Michigan, Western Michigan's, all that kind of just flowed in after Ohio State. But for some reason, I've got scholarship offers as an athlete, and I was committed to play quarterback.
See, oh, okay.
Like I was telling you, like, I wanted to be a quarterback. Yep. Took my visits, you know, I took my visits to Ohio State, Michigan State. I went to Tennessee State. I went to Akron, and then I went to unofficial on Ohio State again. So I took four officials and one unofficial.
Okay.
So I got a chance to go to Ohio State football game. That was pretty cool, too. So, yeah, it all boiled down to just who wanted to my playing opportunities and who would actually give me an opportunity to play quarterback.
All right.
And when the training day came, like, to be honest, I had no idea where I was going to school. Like, I haven't told the world this. Like, few people know this stuff. But on signing day, like, I was still kind of somewhat undecided. Like,
ooh.
To be honest with you, because I like Michigan State a lot. Of course you like Ohio State. You know, you like Akron was definitely in the running. And Tennessee State was also, like, I like Tennessee State. Seriously, like, I really got a lot of love for Tennessee State.
Okay.
But I had a conversation with my mom prior to we sat down and went through the whole, you know, process of signing and everybody signs or whatever. And she told me she felt comfortable with Akron. So both of my parents were there. I discussed it with my parents, and, you know, they left that decision to me. But my mom kind of made it feel better when she said, yeah, okay, I like Akron.
Okay.
I like Akron, too, then. Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah, right.
Go to Akron. And, you know, the rest was history as far as, you know, signing day is concerned. Okay. But my teammates were shocked. I also had a teammate to come with me, Rodney Etienne. He also signed with Akron.
Yeah.
But everyone kind of thought I was going to Ohio State. Like, everybody thought that. And it was like, what is Akron? Like, you're going where? Like, nobody knew what that was. Nobody.
Right.
I didn't know. You know
before
what I mean?
Before LeBron.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell you a crazy story about that, too, though, with LeBron, how I met him, seriously.
Okay.
You know, Ohio State is his favorite school. You know,
yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what's crazy, I think it'll ring a bell if I told him, like, you know, the quarterback. I don't know LeBron personally. I don't want to sit here and create some type of story like, yeah, LeBron's my homie. Nah, it ain't like that. But Romeo, Drew, all those guys that play, I know them personally, got a real relationship with those guys when I was, you know, at Akron. But LeBron would always come back to the Jar and, you know, have open gym with them, you know, because he was still young in Cleveland. He would always come back there. You know, we would know he was there, so we had access. So we would go in the gym, you know, check him out, you know, just, you know, this is LeBron James. And when I spoke to him, and he was like, well, you the quarterback that came from Florida that turned down O State, like, you know what I mean? Because that was huge, you know, like this quarterback from Florida who had the opportunity to go to Ohio State signed with Akron. Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
that was a big buzz coming into it. So for some reason, he got wind of it. And I don't know, maybe one of the guys on the basketball team may have told him or something. But that's how I met him. You know,
okay.
Like, what's up? So I kind of met LeBron. We kind of met each other. He was a real cool dude, man. I'd love to meet him again. But
awesome.
Initially, the young LeBron was real cool. I mean, like, he's always been a humble guy. Seriously. I appreciate those encounters.
Yeah.
That was super cool.
So, you know, we're talking Akron Zips. Real quick, just to kind of talk off the football type things here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll kind of get caught up on how me and you got connected real quick.
Yeah.
I don't want to ramble too much here, but basically Akron does these things. They're like family and friend day, basically.
Okay.
Kind of like a spring game almost. Same concept, basically. Food, drinks, the players kind of play one another, and then after the thing's over, you can kind of talk to the players, talk to the coaches, and get to know everybody a little bit better. And you had to, at this point, you had to get an invite. It was more so exclusive.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I mentioned Dakota and his older brother, Tim, was friends with some football players on the team. I believe it was Brian Howe.
Yeah.
So Tim got an invite. Yeah, we went every year.
Ooh, yeah. I'm still in contact with him all the time. He's one of the homies. He's such
a
good
AJ, dude. I didn't mean to cut you
off. No, you're good, man. You're good,
but
man.
Listen, Brian Howe. Oof. Brian Howe, man. Listen, that's my guy. First and foremost, shout out to B Howe, man.
Yeah.
But, man, he can vouch for this. I used to be live for whatever reason. I was live a lot in practice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even when I wasn't, he would listen. He hit me the hardest, like every day. And I'd be like, Brian, come on. He stayed on me, but like he made me like go harder. J Roy, Brian Howe, those guys really, they really took it to me, like for real. But Brian Howe really like, through all those hard hits and all those stuff I had to endure in those practices, I always felt the genuine love that he wanted to see me succeed. Like he wanted to see me play well, but he didn't take it light on me. Like he is a hard hitter. Like,
yeah,
I mean, seriously, Clint Session is a hard hitter. When I think about linebackers and teammates, he puts me in the mind frame of like that. Like this, oh my goodness. I'm serious. Right? I still feel aches and pains from B. Howe, man. You owe me.
I think it'd be a lot of fun if later on in the future, if we had both of you guys on, and just so you guys could just ramble off stories about back.
Oh, yeah, man. That'd be awesome, man. That'd definitely be cool.
He's down to be on anytime.
No doubt about it. Let's go.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, so real quick, just anyways, you know, we go to this game and you get like these little roster pamphlets and you can see like who's on the team, you know, and we were kind of looking and we saw we had a new quarterback from Florida. That doesn't happen very often for Akron.
Right.
And we're watching and we see a guy wearing number 7, left-handed, and he's rolling out of the pocket, making plays. And this was at a time when Mike Vick was just exploding. Yeah. And I'm watching the kid on our scrimmage field and it looks like he's doing the same things. Me and Dakota are shy. We're nervous. And Tim like, basically forced us over to introduce ourselves. And that person was my guy, Carlton here.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget. He spent 40 minutes after and just playing catch with me in Dakota.
That's really cool.
He took time to get to know us. At the time you're 18, 19 years old.
Yeah. I mean,
you didn't have to do that, but right. So the following year we go to the same thing. Me and Dakota made like Carlton Jackson jerseys out of our white t-shirts.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
He came up to us. He remembered our names. He knew us personally. And, you know, for me, obviously, state champion in high school, heavily recruited, someone who's talented on the field. I always thought your off the field was even more impressive to me personally. The fact that you took the time to get to know people. Mm-hmm. And at my age back then, I mean, that was just so cool. So I really appreciate you doing that. And here we are today, staying in contact all these years. We were friends on Facebook. So, off the field, man. Awesome, dude. Really appreciate you for that, for sure.
Man, you don't know like what that did for me, though. I mean, I accept that. I appreciate, you know, to be recognized for once. Like when I came to Akron, you gotta understand. Like I went from being the top recruit in the entire conference, the MAC conference in 2005, to the star of the class at Akron. All the bells and whistles, all the, you know, glitz and glamour that comes with being recruited. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To a redshirt freshman that didn't see the field in 2 years.
Right, right.
And when I started having teammates who were younger than me, this is when it kind of really dawned on me. Like, it dawned on me when teammates, to be specific, Chad West was at Central Michigan.
Okay.
Started as a true freshman cornerback. I think he signed the same class as Antonio Brown.
Oh,
he was a true freshman. He started as a true freshman. One of my other teammates, one of my childhood friends, Walter Atkins, was starting at the University of Toledo as a true freshman. Just a lot of guys were just seeing the field, you know what I mean? And these are guys that I grew up with playing with, you know, used to being around. I'm like, dang, like, I'm here. I am still I don't even know if I'm the second string quarterback. It's between, you know how that boat right. was kind of rocky, but
yeah,
I was always like just kind of out of the loop, I felt, you know what I mean? You know, I expected a lot more initially, so I had a lot to learn as far as being a backup, you know what I mean? So that was a learning curve within itself. And to have you guys just recognize me out of nowhere, you know what I mean? Just to, you know, who are these people? How do they know me? Like, you know, like I'm hearing all this stuff about stuff online, you know, you read the magazines and they say good things and bad things, but to meet someone that genuinely wants to meet you, like, you know what I mean? Like that meant more to me because I finally felt like I felt like, okay, it was more of a, like a family type vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so for sure.
Cool to me because I did experience a little homesickness, but at that time I was okay because I still had my teammates. A lot of teammates that I was, you know, pretty cool with that made, you know, things a lot lighter. Specifically, Chevin Pace, while I'm on the topic, that was one of my guys that really looked out for me. Was my host on my visit, showed me all the love, and until this day, he's like a brother, like until right now. And I'm pretty sure every teammate that can say they had him as a teammate, they probably say the same things about him. I'm almost sure they'll say the same things about him. Real genuine dude, real loyal guy, man. Really looked after a lot of us that came up from South Florida. Clarence McPherson, Michael Alphonse, like I said, Rodney Etienne, we were able to get under his wing and he really looked after us in the midst of, you know, still battling, trying to overcome and accomplish things himself. He made sure that we were, you know, always taken care of, like, and I salute him for that. Like, seriously, I mean, you name it, there's nothing I can't say that he wouldn't have done. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's awesome. Really appreciate him for that. And that still stands to this day. We still have that kind of relationship. So, you know, shout out to Chevin Pace. I don't know if you remember him, but he was a strong safety there.
He was a monster.
That was my guy, man.
Yeah.
Still is my guy. Yeah.
So I kind of want to jump into, you kind of already started a little bit. We kind of started going that direction, but let's talk about the tail end of your career at Akron. You can go as deep or as shallow as you want to, as far as that goes. And then kind of take me through the process of when you decided, all right, it's best for my career to make a transfer. Yeah. And then lastly, if you could kind of take us through the recruiting process, take us a little bit through the transfer process, maybe some similarities, some differences.
Yeah.
And, how that whole thing works.
So when I decided I was leaving Akron, you just asked me that, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. It's raw and uncut, AJ. You know that, right?
I appreciate it.
So, I was, coming into my redshirt sophomore year, like you said, I was the backup quarterback to Luke Getsy.
Yep.
Both years. And, you know, coming into my redshirt sophomore year, like, I'm expecting to be the starter, hands down, undisputed. There's, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So, obviously, I had the wrong idea because, you know, going into the spring, it was kind of sort of like, okay, whose job is it? Kind of thing. Because and with all due respect, I didn't do anything to solidify, you know, playing the next year as far as my field of play. I mean, in practice, you know how hard I worked in practice kind of spoke for itself, but I didn't really get much game playing time. You know what I mean? My redshirt freshman year, I rarely played. I may have played like 10 snaps the whole season, tops.
Yeah.
So coming into my redshirt freshman year, I mean, I can understand, you know, looking back, but, you know, as being penciled in the backup all these years, I feel like I should at least be coming in expected to be the starter. You know what I mean? I wasn't the backup I could have been the third string, you know what I mean? Or even fourth. But long story short, I come in to the spring and we're going back and forth. You know, Jack is having a pretty good spring. I'm having a pretty good spring, making a lot of plays. And I end up getting a concussion. I don't know if you knew that. Remember that?
Yep.
I got a concussion, again, live in practice. Me, you know, I remember I was a long run, and it was a cornerback. I can't think of his name, but he was from South Carolina. Short, fast, super fast, real good athlete, real good dude, too. I want to say Miguel. If I'm bashing your name, man, I'm sorry. But, you know what I'm talking about. I know you remember this moment, but I broke out for a long run, and he was coming from an angle, and I could have, you know, easily dove in the end zone or got out of bounds. But I decided to drop my head and just
give it all I had, you know what I mean? And that got the team excited, everybody slapping me around. We had a no-huddle offense, check with me, and I was under center. We never went under center. I was deemed. I was out. So I was out for a couple of weeks. I don't know if that set me back. Obviously, I wasn't there at the time to, you know, make some things happen as far as solidifying my spot as a starter. So I still felt in my heart that I was the guy, though. I honestly felt like that. You know, when you know, you know. You know, yeah. Like everybody knows. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody knew. But for whatever reason, the coaches saw fit that Jack started the season off. And if I'm not mistaken, we played Army. It was the first game at the Cleveland Browns Stadium. We played them. And they told me that I would get the first series of every second quarter. I don't know. It was second half or second quarter. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
So, I skipped a part. So when they told us, they brought us into the meeting room in the field house, right? So I'm sitting there, Coach Brookard, you know, whole coach, player, how I'm sitting. He's on the other side of the desk. Me and Chris Jackal, man, rest in peace to him. That was my brother too. A lot of people thought we didn't really have a genuine relationship, but that was my guy the whole time. Like, we never.
Yeah.
Other than the competition of, you know, wanting to play, which is understandably, but, you know, he was my roommate. He was my quad mate as a true freshman. You know, when we traveled, we were roommates. So we were always on good terms outside of competition.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they bring us into this meeting, me and Jack, right? And Coach Brookard was like, you know, he broke it down to us and we know why he felt the coaches made the decisions that they made, because he felt like Jack had a better command of the offense. So I'm like in the meeting, I'm like, whoa, this is going the wrong way. Like, I didn't expect to hear this. Like, I thought you were going to tell me, be talking like that about me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So long story short, he said, we're going to go with Jack starting out. We play Army. And right then in my mind, like, I sat there in the office and I just stared, like, because I didn't want the tears to fall, but my eyes got big. You know what I'm saying? Like, my eyes got extremely big, and I just couldn't believe it. And to be honest, I mean, he's not here to vouch, but Coach Brookard is, but Jack was somewhat kind of shocked. Like, you know what I'm saying? Jack was like, whoa, like, I'm starting? You know what I'm saying? Like, because he was somewhat kind of fidgety about going into that game starting, because and everybody knew, like, CJ is the guy. Like, you were at the practices, AJ, like, you saw, like, I'm not bragging, but I was
right.
I felt like I deserved to come in starting. I mean, on the video games, the magazines, billboards, all the, you know, the preseason hoopla, I'm on paper penciled in as the starting quarterback for Akron. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We get to Army. You know, we're going back and forth with them, and I get my series, you know what I mean? First real action, you know what I mean? Meaningful action, you know what right. I'm saying? In college. And I drive down, and I remember I threw a fade to Jabari Arthur. I wish you can, like, clip to the footage of this as I'm talking and you can see it.
That'd be sick. I remember Jabari Arthur. But, dog.
I threw a fade, and I don't want to say he dropped it, but it was a catchable pass. You know, Jabari is a freak athlete. But he didn't come down with it, and we ended up kicking the field goal. So I got three on my first college drive, you know, coming out. So I was pretty cool with that. And that kind of just fueled me to want to play more. You know what I mean? I was ready. I wanted it. And I was kind of – it's like tasting blood, I guess. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, you gotta give me more of this. So that's all I did. And, you know, next week we played Ohio State. You know what I mean? And that was a big game. That game was so big that – and I'm not going to say any names, but I had some teammates, man, pregame, like, that were, like, fans of players that we were about to play against.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm like, bro, where I'm from, we don't do that. Like,
right.
We don't do that. Like, that was a shocker because I wasn't exposed to that until then. You know what I mean? And we played Purdue, Penn State, you know, years prior to this, my sophomore year. And we played against some big names at these schools too, but I didn't witness this. I'm like, whoa. You know, I was touching bases with the guys I knew from the camps and guys I took visits with, you know, those guys. But as far as, like, I don't want your autograph. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
yeah.
I'm about to play against you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want your autograph right now. Like,
right.
But a lot of respect to those guys at Ohio State. Malcolm Jenkins, I remember going, jabbing out. He talked a lot of smack, man. Me and him was going back and forth. They had Laurinaitis. They had some guys.
They had some guys
on the team, man. Like, seriously.
For sure.
And again, I get my first series of this second quarter, first half. And I remember we were winning 2-0.
I remember. Yeah, I remember this game.
We were up against Ohio State. Defense was playing solid. And I was so ready, I was like, oh, I know he's gonna pull the trigger soon. Like, come on, like. And then he finally put me in, you know. And that experience from that point, like, it was just like I was, you know, moving the ball, but this is an Army. Like, this is a different
game. Yeah, right.
Caliber right. team, just rightfully speaking, just keeping it real. Like, you know, so when I was out there, and then third down came, and then the bell started ringing. And literally, I had flashbacks in the moment. I'm giving you an in-game experience. I remember playing NCAA, and you know how you can make the screen, like, shake? You can make the screen rattle.
Yep. Stadium pulse.
Players are like, okay. Like,
right, yep.
Listen, third down came in that place in the horseshoe, and the ground was moving.
Oh.
Listen, AJ, I'm not making this up. I felt the ground moving in that stadium. It was that loud. And I'm like, come on. Like, it was crazy.
Right.
I could scream into the top of my lungs, and you couldn't hear me a foot away from me. You could not hear me.
Wow.
It was like, it's like that loud. It's crazy. That loud. Crazy. So I end up playing a lot because they were like, Jack was taking some hits that game. So they put me in, I don't know, but I wasn't about to sit back there and take a beating. I was just kind of scampering around, taking, you know, little dinks and dunks here, here and there, taking what they give me. But at the end of the game, I led in all passing yards and rushing yards. So when I look on, so now I'm like, whoa. So now I'm watching ESPN. Now I see my name on the stat. I'm like, whoa.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of getting introduced to this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Now I'm getting my feet wet. Like, okay, now I'm on the stat line. Okay, cool. Next week, we're playing Indiana. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Still not starting.
Coming into that Indiana game, leading off Ohio State, you can see the difference. And like I say, the schools, like, it was a big difference from Army to Ohio State. And then it was also a difference from Ohio State to Indiana, meaning like the speed of the game kind of got a little bit slower. The stadium wasn't as chaotic. It was loud. They had a pretty good fan base. They were – not to take away from Indiana, they were solid. They had a pretty good team. But when I got in this particular time, I don't know if it was just because I was more settled. I think that had a lot to do with it. I wasn't as antsy, you know, being in, you know, actually action, playing the game. I was kind of more so eager to get out there and play because I was at this point kind of, you know, just ready to go, you know what I mean? And I don't mean go like transfer. I mean like, ready to play, you know, get on the field type deal.
Yeah.
And they put me in as I got my series. This particular series, I actually went, I had an 80-yard touchdown drive, scored my first college touchdown, ran it in from like the 5 on a quarterback draw, but we drove 80 yards down the field. And, you know, that was cool. We tied the game up. It was 7-7, I want to say, after that, or 10-10, something like that.
Okay.
The game was tied up. I scored my first touchdown. I'm hyped. I'm ready to go. And I remember Coach Reno came up to me. He told me I was going back. You know, you're going back in. This was like I never did this. Once I got this one series, I was done. But since, you know, I think from the result of this series, they told me I was going back. So the actual next drive, the defense got a stop, I think. We got the ball back on the 20, another 80-yard drive. I remember I hit Chris Kasperi, my tight end.
Yeah.
He was an upperclassman, pretty good guy. Shout out to Chris Kasperi, too. Hit him up the seam on the next drive for like a 40-yard, somehow touchdown pass. So now we're winning. Like, everybody can't believe this. Like, now the sideline is really like pandemonium. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's right. – Everybody hype now. The energy on this team, the levels are at an all-time high for the season. You know, we're actually up. So now I think I've arrived. I'm like, okay, so now I'm in. I'm the guy. I'm going to finish this game out, obviously.
And, you know, things are going to be up from here. You know what I mean? So Jack ended up playing some more time. Like he played again after the 2 touchdowns. Like he got a couple more series. Then I got in and then I scored another touchdown. And I hit Jabari out there up the seam for about like a 40 to 50 yard pass post, which I can hear Coach Moorhead right now. I was got a negative on that play because I was supposed to throw the corner. You're never supposed to throw the backside post, but I threw it on scissors. My bad, Coach Moorhead. I still remember those days, but definitely hit him in stride too. I mean, it looked like I was supposed to do it, but
yeah,
nah, my read took me elsewhere. But yeah, so I end up finished. We end up losing the game because, like I say, they were a pretty good team too, and they, you know, sure, they end up scoring some points. And but we had a good showing, like going into the MAC conference. Now we had our 3 out of conference games. We've been battle tested. Now we're going into the conference. You're ready to go. Strangely, we're playing Kent State. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what was crazy about that? I remember going to the mall after the Indiana game and seeing my jersey in Chapel Hill. Like, my jersey okay. was in Finish Line, and it was in the 2 shoe stores in Chapel Hill. Like, I sent yeah. them home. It was
oh,
cool.
Oh, nice.
Like, you know, first dude from Akron. Well, I don't want him to say the first, but I was the only dude at the time.
Right.
With an Akron jersey inside the stores. You know what I mean? Like, that was big. Like, me seeing that was crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was like, whoa. Like, I couldn't believe that. Like, I was really, you know, happy to see that, I should say.
Yeah.
You know, your jersey in the stores. Like, you know, my jersey next to Troy Smith and Ted Ginn. You know what I right. mean? All those guys from Ohio State jersey. You got an Akron Zip jersey up there. AK Rowdy, baby.
Yes, sir.
You know how that go.
But,
yep.
Anyway, they named me the starter going in against Kent State.
Yeah.
Julian Edelman, they had a pretty good team, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they were
tough. They were stacked up. They had a This is my first start. Long story short, I end up having a pretty decent game. I think I had two or three touchdowns that game. We end up winning the wagon wheel, getting that back over on our side of town. You know, everybody was excited. That was the last game in the Rubber Bowl
yep.
against mm-hmm. Kent State. You know, we ended up winning that game. So it was a lot of historic moments, you know what I mean, when I yeah. looking back and, you know, like how deep that rival really is, Akron versus Kent. That goes far beyond my years, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So to get the wagon wheel back in Akron, that was a lot. Like, and I saw my fan base grow from there. Like, and for whatever reason, the coaches saw fit. And I would tell you, if I really knew why I didn't start the next game, I would tell you, like, this is the platform to, you know, speak your piece or whatever. But
yeah.
I really don't know what made them make the decision to start Jack that next week against UConn. We played another out-of-state game in the Big East. We played against – I remember this stuff like yesterday. And they end up starting Jack. He ended up playing. We lose that game back and forth. Something took place on the team where coaches were made aware of some things that Jack had going on. And they suspended him for Bowling Green. That's the Bowling Green game. You know what I mean?
Right.
So at this point, I mean, like I tell you, I'll tell you, like, I'll keep it real. At this point in the season, in my mind, I already knew, like, okay, I'm leaving. Like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Like I told you, like prior to the first snap of the season at that meeting, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was like, my 1 foot was out the door after that meeting. And then as the season progressed, it was just like, it's not going. This isn't going how I anticipated. You know what I mean? Like, and it's not due to me not doing what I have to do. You know what I mean? I'm doing yep. all the things that in my heart that I need to be doing to, you know, be the guy. And if I'm not, whatever you tell me to do, I'm gonna do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. So they end up starting Jack, and like I say, we end up playing a bunch of games within Bowling Green. So we play Bowling Green, and how can I say this? They start me because he was suspended for violating team rules, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I told guys, I'm like, listen, if the number one option isn't open, I am running. I'm running everything. Like, I'm tucking it. I'm getting out the way with it. Like, so at the end of the third, not at the beginning,
It was like 8 minutes left. I remember they took me out with like 8 minutes left in the third, right? I didn't play any more of that game against Bowling Green. Mm-hmm. And Jack, who was suspended, and finished the game out. He was suspended that game, and he finished that game out because they took me out the game. And after the game in the press conference, they told me that I was like, I think seven or eight yards away from breaking a rushing record for quarterbacks in a game for Akron.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I had 133 yards rushing within, you know, like the first half, basically. They took me out in the middle of the third, and I had like 133 yards rushing and 192 yards passing, two touchdowns.
Insane.
And, you know, me being a kid, I'm not sure that was, the real reason. I'm not sure of that. I don't think it was any malicious intent on taking me out. But as a kid, you know, when I became aware of that, I'm like, wow, they took me out because they didn't want me to break the record. You know what I mean? Because I was right. I would have broke that. I knew I would have got, you know what I mean? Like, I would have definitely got that with a whole half of football left. And I already got 133 on the ground. So that was cool. I was okay with that. I had some family, my girlfriend at the time, my kid's mom and her family came to that game. She had some friends from high school that went to Bowling Green. So it was still a good, you know, it was a nice time. But
right.
Yeah.
I was kind of more so ready to just be done with Akron at that point. I was kind of like, I felt like I was just outcast. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't know if it was because of my hair. I didn't know that, you know? So when I see these guys now, you know, kind of, you know, setting a standard so it won't be so, how can I say it, stereotypical when you see a guy absolutely. With that type of hair.
Yeah.
So now you see the Cam Newtons and the Lamar Jacksons and the Teddy Bridgewaters, they're wearing these particular hairstyles, and it's gained more respect over the years, you know what I mean? And it's not perceived as it used to be back in the day, you know what I mean? Right. So I can salute those guys for standing strong on that and being themselves. And I also want to, you know, thank the organizations in the NFL for, you know, respecting that space and, you know, giving those guys, because that was kind of like, you wouldn't be a quarterback looking like that, you know, with the dreads and that kind of, that look, nah, they're not going for that.
Right.
So to see those guys changing the narrative a little bit, that's kind of cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of change the perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So.
But yeah, we were Bowling Green. And after that, I don't even know who we played after that, man, because I was so focused on getting out of there. That was it. To be honest.
All right.
Yep.
So you end up moving from Akron and you go to Morgan State. So we are both born and raised in Akron. Yep. We know about it. We know nothing about Morgan State. So tell us a little bit about Morgan State. It's in Maryland, I believe.
Man, listen.
What was it about Morgan State brought you there?
MSU. MSG. Say it again.
What was it about Morgan State that got you there?
To be honest, God honest truth. Prior to transferring, I had one of the guys that I signed to Akron with.
Yeah.
Clarence McPherson. He ended up transferring to Morgan State.
Okay.
And, you know, we kept in touch. You know, we were, to this day, we're still real good friends. We're like brothers, you know what I'm saying? So we talked a lot, you know, and a lot of guys end up transferring into Morgan State when I was still at Akron. You know what I mean? Okay. So we had some guys transfer from Akron. Well, one transferred from Akron. Then my main man, Will, transferred from Temple. And then Ed came from Bethune-Cookman. Like, you know, Chad came from South Florida. He had just graduated. I didn't play with Chad, but they had some guys that were there. You know what I mean? Division one transfers and D1 caliber athletes that actually signed with Morgan State. So to make a long story short, they had the number one defense in the nation, right? And the player of the year at running back, which was Chad Simpson at the time. And they were, I think, 6-5, 5-6.
Okay.
So just hearing that, I'm like, okay, they need a quarterback. They need somebody that can come in and make some things happen at that position. They're already trying to get me there. I mean, talking to Clarence Yink was what we call him, talking to him, you know, every other day about coming there, you know, getting set. He did a real job on me coming there because he wanted me to come there. He knew that's I was like kind of the missing link when I got, you know what I mean? So I ended up going to Morgan State, but I had an opportunity
I explored Hampton University, Norfolk University. And I thought about transferring to Tennessee State. Remember I told you they recruited me heavy. I definitely considered them, but it was, I don't know what, thinking back, I don't remember exactly what kind of got me off of there, but my high school running back was also at Morgan State.
Okay.
And the lineman who I told you, who I was with in high school, that was the number one lineman, Ronnie Wilson, he had transferred from Florida to Morgan State.
Okay.
So I had five guys from my high school.
A lot of familiarity there.
Yeah.
Colleges.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I went there, and am I breaking up?
No, you're good.
You're good.
Okay, you guys are kind of breaking up a little bit. But Morgan State, outside of that, how I ended up there, that's how I pretty much got there, because they just, I felt they needed a quarterback. I took a visit to the campus. And when I tell you, it's totally different from being at on campus at University of Akron and at Morgan State, because obviously Morgan State is a historically black college. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, the only Caucasian people at that school were two girls on the softball team. And they were the coolest, but that was the only two people I saw there that was not black. Great. And it wasn't a culture shock, because I'm from similar environments, but to be in college, to see these like-minded people, all these colored people, color-skinned black people doing great things. You know what I mean? I'm like, wow, everybody here is like, what is like, I'm not the only one that kind of felt that way, because, you know, transferring from university to a HBCU, historically black college. It was, you know, because Akron is kind of like 50-50, 60-40 when I was there. Like they had, you know, people there, you know, it was kind of a mixed population at Akron. But at Morgan State, man, listen, everybody, every person at the school. And that was the most thing that changed. I mean, as far as everything else, I mean, there were some things that could have been different or that could have panned out a little bit differently. But as far as what I was accustomed to as an athlete at Akron, and when I transferred to Morgan State, but it was a lower division, and it was just, you know, some things were just different, you know what I mean? But you make your adjustments and you make it work. That was the biggest thing, seeing all those people, seeing all those black people, man. Like that was crazy. That was crazy to me. And then like the surrounding elements of the city. Like it was like Morgan State is surrounded by the Wire, Baltimore. You ever saw that shit? That sitcom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's literally Baltimore. Whoever orchestrated that whole show, they gave you a bird's eye view of Baltimore, I would say, because I would consider that like one of my second, third homes, you know what I mean? Like I still have roots in Baltimore, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Baltimore is like, Baltimore is a tough city. Baltimore is a tough city. Shout out to Baltimore, man. I got a lot of love for Baltimore. Lamar Jackson is also from my city, Pompano, you know what I mean? So it's a lot of ties with Baltimore, you know? So it's a lot, you know, I love about Baltimore.
Awesome.
Seriously. Survival of the fittest.
As a former collegiate athlete, and you're looking back on things in the current day, talking about HBCUs, kind of want to get your opinion on today's landscape. You know, you have like Deion Sanders down in Jackson State, and he's getting four-star, five-stars. Nick Saban's talking about him during the press conference. Yeah. He's got bigger schools' attention. So, I mean, do you see those HBCU programs growing as we move forward? You think maybe they'll become more household names and as far as football goes?
I think so. I think the wave has definitely made a turn, and the narrative is definitely being changed by these guys who are trailblazers of, you know, what they're doing at this particular time. You know, as far as getting these particular recruits to decide to actually come to these schools prior to experiencing the, you know, the major D1 experience. You know, because that's usually the route. You go big, and if it doesn't work out, you transfer. You come, you know what I mean? But to get these, you know, top, and I mean not even just D1 recruits, they're landing top recruits in the nation. Best and guys are coming from, you know, transfer portals all over the world.
and all over the states to come to these particular universities. I mean, I'm glad to see it because it shines a light on these universities who've, you know, kind of been in the dark for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, So now there's going to be a little bit more respect on their name when it comes to just who they schedule for their games. Cause not, you know, usually you can easily get a game, a D1 game, you know, they'll schedule you, but they're going to be real skeptical about, you know, scheduling some of these particular teams now because they're going to be evenly talented. You know, when we played Akron and I was at State, that was, you know, we had athletes, but as far as, you know, the depth and then, you know, the athletes just were at, it was just a different level of athlete when it came to certain criteria of the game.
Yeah.
But we had a very good team at Morgan State, but I'm just saying the difference when it comes to things like that, that plays a huge role.
Definitely.
So I'm keep thinking about that.
You guys didn't hear my phone ringing. What's that?
I was saying, I hope you guys didn't hear my phone ringing.
No, you're good. You're good, man. I didn't hear it. You know, as we talk about the game today, you know, there's a lot of changes since when you were playing. You know, you have the college football playoffs. They're kind of doing the pay to play compensation they got going on right now, the explosion of the transfer portal. So someone who used to be a collegiate athlete looking at the game now, I mean, what are your thoughts? Do you like the changes that are being made? Do you think they're bad for the game? I mean, what's your take on it?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a bad thing. I really think it's a what's sort of a pain, but my opinion on that is that I appreciate the fact that you can give, you know, these guys an opportunity to make change in their family's lives initially, yeah. You know, outright, you know, like you're not waiting and just gaining more wealth off their notoriety. Like now, like when my jersey was in that store, I would be getting paid right now. I just didn't meet that wave. I wasn't in that. You know what I mean? So
the first thing your likeliness
should be valued. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So if you're valued enough for them to take the time out to, you know, make you marketable, why not let the initial product, you know, absorb some of that too? Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great thing. I think it's, you know, as long as it's done fairly, you know, it is, you know, I think it's a tool to drive guys to even work harder, to achieve more, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's a good look, you know, to say the least, I would say.
Yeah, if you're the one putting all this hard work in and they're going to want to make money off of you, what's the fairness in you not getting anything out of it?
Right, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
No, I agree with you 100%.
All right. So really to wrap us up, man, I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I kind of want to close that. I kind of more so just want to get caught up with you as far as off the field, present day. I see you're in your classroom.
Yeah.
Looks like you're doing your thing.
Lovely painting behind you.
Cleaning up, end of the year.
Yeah. We follow each other on social media. Looks like you're doing your thing as far as helping with football, developing. And I see you're doing your thing as a father. Community leader. So kind of just bring us up to speed. What's going on with the everyday life today?
Yeah, man, my everyday life consists of now just teaching. You know, I'm giving back to my, you know, the young life, you know, just trying to let them absorb some of the things that can make them more productive, more better as an individual, understanding, you know, how things go. You know, as far as my connection with the community, like being from my hometown, teaching in my hometown, you know, engaging with the kids throughout my community. I think I do that on a pretty much regular basis. I do a lot of tutoring. I also train quarterbacks on a regular basis too. Like right now, that's where I would be if I wasn't here. I got some guys that I've been training that you probably going to be hearing their names pretty soon. They're going to be some big name guys.
Oh, we'll stay tuned.
Yeah, I'm thinking of his name right now. I know his name is Javaris Robinson. He's an incoming freshman. He'll be at Chaminade Preparatory School. I think it's a preparatory school, Chaminade Madonna. But they're a pretty good school recognized in South Florida. He'll be going there, you know, to compete and play as a freshman. So remember the name. He might be a Zip. You never know.
Okay, 7-3-3-0. We'll watch every game. We'll be there.
Never know, man. Coach Moorhead got some good stuff going over there now. So
I
look forward to doing great things in the near future for real.
We'll love to have you
back.
But
yeah, other than that, man. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't count that out, man. I would love to be under Coach Moorhead's tutelage again, man, because now that I look back at my career, I've been blessed to have some pretty good quarterback coaches. Like my high school coach, Coach Steve Davis, he was a quarterback, and he taught me a lot about the position. As a young high school athlete, I won a state championship with him, and then the coach that preceded him was Coach Willie Snead. You guys his son probably rings a bell. Wide receiver, Willie Snead.
Yep, sir. Wide receiver in the league.
He was my young guy when I was at Ely in high school. His dad was my coach.
Really?
So I know him. I know the family. Yeah. So man, Willie, that's my guy. We go way back.
Nice.
But I learned a lot from Coach Snead, and then when I got to Akron, and got under the tutelage of Coach Pryor, Coach Brookhart, Coach Moorhead. Those guys really gave me an understanding. Coach Moorhead in particular, even the terminology I use to this day, things that just stuck with me, understanding certain things, how to just really prepare for a game. And then when I look at his sheet and where he has gone once he left Akron and where he's, you know, what he's achieved at Penn State and at Fordham. He was the head coach at Mississippi State. Then he was the OC at Oregon. He was the offensive player of the year, coach of the year in the Big Ten. Like, he went on and did some things, and I was nowhere near shocked because I just thought back on how this guy really prepares and does things on a regular basis, day in and day out, to be in the best position to win. Like, I learned a whole lot from Coach Joe Moorhead. Like, really appreciate being able to come up under him because I gained a lot. I gained a lot that I give back to the youth now. When I train guys, a lot of what I learned comes from him. I had to just be honest about it. Like, I learned a lot. Even Luke Getsy, I got a chance to even, you know, kind of build a relationship with Charlie Fry as well. Like, those guys are really students of the game. You know what I mean? Like, they're really students of the game, and I learned a lot about that, you know, during my time there. And I really appreciate that. Seriously.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, if you're ever back in Akron, hit my line. Dinner's on me. Maybe we'll have you come to the studio and we'll do a live interview or something, man. But anytime you can make it back, that'd be awesome.
Man, I would love to do that, man. Awesome.
Yeah.
Listen.
That'd be awesome for sure. Just let us know.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to it, man. I would definitely want to come up because I want to go rub shoulders with Coach Moorhead again. Just be a fly on the wall in the room and, you know, gain some things and, you know, see what we can develop from there. But definitely, man, if I'm ever in the area, man, which maybe soon, seriously, I will give you a call.
Yeah, man, hit me up.
Yeah, tell Tim and Dakota I said what's up.
Definitely, man. I'll definitely pass that along. As mentioned before we started recording, Dakota sends his blessings, said what's up. I know Tim commented on Facebook the other day about it. He was excited to hear it. So definitely appreciate your time, man. Keep doing what you're doing with the community and teaching and all that good stuff. And, yeah, hopefully we'll see you soon, man.
Yeah, Carlton, it was an absolute pleasure.
For sure, man. I look forward to it, man.
Yeah, pleasure meeting you. Just an awesome guy.
Yeah.
So, can't wait to have you back on. Let us know when you're in the area in the future, man. And we'll get that whole you, Brian Howe, and us together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be one for the ages, man. And when you guys when you guys go global, don't forget about me, man, because I see your guys' podcast doing great things, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Seriously.
Thank you so much.
This is very cool, man. I really like this.
We appreciate it, man. You can come back anytime. Love having you on.
Yeah, man. All right, brother. Well, I appreciate your time.
Looking forward to it. I got your phone number, man, so you know I'll hit you up.
You got my number. Hit me up anytime, man. I'll get this I'll get this posted. I'll send it your way, man, and we'll have it uploaded tomorrow. So, again, thank you for your time, man. It was a great interview.
You guys have a great afternoon. Great evening.
You did the same, man.
Thank you for your
time.
Peace
out, man. All right.
Hey, once again, thank you again to Carlton Jackson. What a cool interview. We can't wait to have you back. Just super informational interview that, I mean, you killed it. So thank you so much once again. But
yeah, it was fun. It was cool to get the inside perspective from an athlete who went through the ups and downs of, you know, being a college quarterback and
in the 2000s era.
Yeah, that was really cool. Appreciate it. I got a lot of love for my guy. Like I said, someone that stayed in contact, someone I've considered a brother. So hopefully he can come up sometime, can link up.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So, yeah, shout out to my guy, Carlton Jackson. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, and hopefully we'll have you back someday, man.
Yeah, I agree. But that should get us right into our next segment.
NBA Conference Finals. Yeah, we have the Eastern Conference Finals, which was last night, and the Boston Celtics tied it up 2-2, smoked them. I made a nice little coin on the game myself.
Yeah, very, very nice play. Entertainment is going out. I mean, it's so much.
It just, I've just been playing the away team. Basically, I'm just taking the whoever won last game, I'm taking the other team. That seems to be the way the series is going.
Yeah.
It's 2-2. Opposite of the other series in the West, but as far as the East goes, it's 2-2, and it's going back to Miami. What are you thinking for this series? Are you liking one or the other? Who would you take if you had to?
With the injury concerns that the Heat are going through, I think I'm going to go ahead and take the Celtics to win the next two games and close it out.
I think it's over.
Yeah, I think this is where they kind of really turn it on. Celtics-Warriors is going to be an extremely fun finals to watch. I'm not mad about it at all. I'm not a fan of either team.
Oh, you're writing the Mavericks off already.
Oh, it's 3-0. I mean, they're, I think, what is it, 1.5-point favorite tonight, which they might not even cover that.
No.
Give the Warriors a couple days extra to relax and chill and get everyone healthy.
Yeah, really weird spread. Celtics were -6. I was all over that. Oh, yeah, I love that.
Oh,
so
they smoked. You didn't even sweat.
No sweat. Fun game. I think it started off 18-1, if I'm not mistaken.
Wild.
Yeah, it was really weird. So that was a no sweater. I really enjoyed that. The West Coast, as mentioned, we have the Warriors versus the Mavs. It's 3-0.
It's going to tip off here in approximately 1 hour.
Yeah, I think it's over. I think the Warriors win tonight, and we get a sweep.
I think that Luka drops about 45, sneak one out, but then the Warriors close out at home, and it gives the Celtics just one more game advantage over the Warriors in the finals. So they're not too
much. Luka's going to have to drop a 50 bomb to win this one.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The East has been pretty exciting, kind of. Not really, actually, because they're rotating wins, but they're winning by 20 points each, and the West has not been exciting. So
it's been not a fun playoff.
Playoffs haven't really been fun.
No.
So I don't know. We'll see how those go. Real quick, we had the second major of the year in the PGA Championship down in Tulsa. Ooh,
man, let me talk about that real quick.
Go ahead.
Did you watch any of it?
I watched a little bit of it.
So Mito Pereira, one of the guys who I mentioned countless on the show.
Yep.
Big Mito guy.
Big LCP guy.
Yeah, absolutely. All around. He goes in, I think he was leading 35 straight holes in this major. And then he goes into 18. All he needs to do is get a par.
Yeah, just be decent.
My guy hooks a drive right into the drink. We got a swimmer, has to drop, hits it over the green. He's in the rough. So he can still get up and down for bogey and make the playoff with Zalatoris and Justin Thomas, as you watch. And my guy hits the wildest chip, hits it over the green into the first cut, and then he continues a two-putt double bogey, finds himself out of the playoff. But he is a rookie on tour, and this was his first major ever. So he even said he was nervous, and I don't blame him. I don't fault him too much. He's going to be back in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
It was cool to see Justin Thomas, to see his emotion after winning that with his family, the embrace with his dad, just seeing his emotion because he's typically more of like a comical guy, just loose. But when he won that, it was super cool to watch. So what a weekend for golf.
Yeah, Justin Thomas versus Will Zalatoris in the playoff holes. It was a three playoff hole.
Tiger Woods bailed out after 3 days. But, man, from the first day, I was watching him warming up. He was not okay.
He's not ready yet.
No. He shouldn't have played.
I think he needs the whole year off to.
If anything, he'll play the last major. I don't think he'll get into the third one and then maybe go back into the Masters next year.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would like to see him in the Masters next year. And if I don't see him until then, I'm not upset about it.
No,
get yourself right and get that Masters next year.
I mean, we mentioned it on the show when the Masters came. Me and you were
big into it this year. I mean, we were texting constantly. Every single shot, it seemed like. I called off work. Yeah. You were work from home, but, man, you were Tiger from home, my guy. So mm-hmm. It was awesome. So I can't wait to see him next year.
Yeah. So real quick, we had a DK. Whoever came in last had a little punishment. It was a weaker punishment, but
well, it wasn't weak until we had word from co-host Tone. He wasn't a fan. He doesn't know about them buzz balls.
I'm not a fan of them personally, so I thought it was appropriate. Them. So yeah, you had a little buzz ball. How was that? How'd that go?
Well, I sipped it throughout our Carlton Jackson interview, and yeah. I hated every sip.
Yeah,
and now I don't feel so good.
Perfect.
Yeah,
all right.
So that's what happened.
All right. So we're going to close out with the Charles Schwab Invitational this week. It's going to be at the Colonial Country Club down in Fort Worth, Texas. We have defending champ Jason Krokrak.
Yeah.
And you have your placement picks. I have our guy Father Tone's placement picks. So why don't you go ahead and kick us off with the top 20?
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to take a guy. He's one of those golfers that come to mind to be a potential rookie of the year. Other names you see with him is Cameron Young and Mito Pereira. So I'm going to take Davis Riley. He is plus 200, so he's a bit on the heavier side to make the top 20. But he's got 7 top 25s this year, and 4 of those are in the top 10, 2 in the top 5. He played extremely well last week, in the PGA Championship. And I think he makes a huge push for that Rookie of the Year award this week. And okay. Davis Riley, plus 200 in the top 20.
All right. So our guy Tone, he's taking a big AJ the Moderator guy for the top 20.
Finau.
Going Tony Finau, plus 175. I would like to see him higher than top 20, but yeah. I like to see him in the top 20. That's cool.
Are you going
to
throw DraftKings out there, AJ the Moderator?
I don't know about a DK this week. Mm. We'll see.
Just maybe a quarter league. Who knows?
Yeah. So if I do, Tony Finau will definitely be in my DK. You already know.
Big respect.
For sure. So how about top 10 placement picks? Who do you have finishing top 10?
Yes. For my top 10, with my first two placement picks, I'm mainly riding hot clubs. As far as last week, this guy got a T9 in the play or the PGA, I'm sorry, and that's Abraham Answer at plus 375. That's amazing value.
Big Answer guy.
Yeah, he's had a bit of a weird stretch. He missed 2 of his last 6 cuts. 2 of those, he didn't even break top 40. But also the other 2, he was in the top 10. So it's super weird, and he had no real problems making the cut this year. So I think this stretch is perfectly built for Answer to make a huge run to get up in the FedEx Cup rankings.
All right. And for our guy Tone, another LCP guy. We're going Sam Burns, plus 325. I know that's a Nate guy.
Yep.
So he's liking Sam Burns to come in the top 10. Plus 325 is some wild odds, but I like it. As far as top 5 goes, who do you have coming down to the top 5 this weekend?
So I have Daniel Berger at plus 800. Nice. Absolutely brutal week for him last week. He shot 10 over on Friday, missing the cut by 9 strokes. It's just, I mean, he's only missed 2 cuts this year, and that was only the second one, obviously. But we haven't really heard much from Daniel Berger since his meltdown when he lost to Sepp Straka in the wild weather. I think it was the Honda Classic. But, I mean, he's still one of the best players out there, so he needs to do a lot of work, and I think it starts right now at the Charles Schwab. So give me Daniel Berger to end up winning this whole thing.
Okay. All right. So you talked about riding the hot clubs. Tone's going to ride the hot clubs for top 5. He's going to go ahead and take Justin Thomas at plus 320.
Very nice.
Coming off of a majors win, he has him finishing the top 5 at plus 320. So I like that. As far as missing the cut goes, who do you have not making the weekend trip?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm kind of disregarding my last statement about riding the hot clubs because Justin Rose just played extremely impressive last week getting the T13. And at plus 200, I think he kind of slips up and misses his 4th cut of the season.
Ooh, okay.
Unfortunately.
All right. And our guy Tone is taking Cameron Tringali. Is that right?
Yep, Cameron Tringali, very nice.
Nice. He's going to miss the cut, and he has that at plus 190. How about your 1v1 selections? Any 1v1s that stand out to you this weekend?
Yeah, so I'm going to take the reigning champ. I'm going to take Jason Krokrak. If you were looking on some of these entertainment purposes only sites earlier, you would see that there's not very many positive odds out there. Mm-hmm. And I saw that this was one of them, and it's him over Taylor Gooch. It's not much, Gooch. But yep, not Gooch over Cooch. But I think Cooch outplayed Gooch.
Mm-hmm.
So give me crack over Gooch.
Okay.
This week at +110. Crack over Gooch.
I like that. For our guy Tone, he's going to take CT Pan over KH Lee.
Ooh.
-115. So he's taking a favorite on the 1v1 selections. Let's go ahead and jump to our DraftKings before we close out this episode here. Why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Okay, I'll do that. So I don't have a big name guy this week. Well, not particularly, but I will please the AJ the Moderator fans nice. With my top guy. He's 9,100 this week. He has missed four cuts, but when he starts to get slept on, he really wakes everyone up. And that's Tony Finau.
Let's go.
At 9,100 is going
baby.
To lead my team this week in DraftKings.
Hell yeah, I love to hear
let's
it.
Let's go. A couple Tony Finaus just for you. Hey, let's go.
I love it. Big Tony guy. I hope to see him do work this week. Tone's got him in the top 20. I hope he finishes in the top 5.
Number one.
Maybe even gets a victory. I mean, who knows?
Wait till you see my next guy.
Yeah. So for Tone's top guy, he's got a bigger name guy out here at 10,400. He's going to go ahead and take Jordan Spieth to lead his DraftKings team this weekend.
I almost picked him. So with my second golfer is my projected winner for this whole thing. And at 9,000, not much cheaper than Tony Finau, I got Daniel the Cheeseburger.
Okay.
So give me Daniel Berger. He, like I said, he missed those two cuts. He still has three top tens. And I think he bounces back in a huge way this week at the Charles Schwab.
All right. So for our number two highest paid player on Tone's DraftKings roster, coming at $9,300, two top tens, 12 out of 16 for cuts. We're going to go ahead and take one of our guy Nate's guys. We're going Abe Answer.
Yeah, okay.
At number two.
Wow, kind of a lot of cinematography here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So, sorry. With my third most expensive golfer, this guy who loves to get angry, I call him the Amateur Hawk, and that's Billy Horschel. He hasn't missed a cut this year. He's got two top tens, and he can win at any time, I feel like. So, at 8,500... I feel like that's almost a steal unless they're baiting me. And I'm the master of not getting into that. So give me Billy Horschel at 8,500.
All right. At 8,400, four top tens, 12 out of 19 on cuts. Tone is rocking with D. Riley.
Oh, Davis Riley. Interesting. I had mentioned him in my top 20.
Mm-hmm.
Potential rookie of the year. So go ahead and hit. Is this the
yeah,
button?
Go ahead.
Oh, I never hit the button. I'm hitting the button. Oh, shit. It's not hitting anymore. Oh, there it goes. All right. So we're going to luck that in at my fourth most expensive golfer is Davis Riley. Makes a push for rookie of the year.
Nice. All right. Coming in at the next slot for our guy Tone at $8,100. We're going zero top tens. 7 out of 10 cuts. We're hoping to see a top 10 this week. Kevin Na.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, he's such an up-and-down golfer.
Yeah.
I feel like I never have the cojones to pick him up on DraftKings because I just never know. But good for him. I hope he goes off for you. Not really.
It's a nice way of saying that's a bad pick.
Yeah, it stinks. That stinks. Yeah, until he hits a top 10 or something. But with my fifth most expensive, my second-to-last golfer is the reigning champ, Jason Kokrak.
Okay.
Only 8,200. I feel like he's
nice value.
Yeah, he won it last year. If I can get all these guys on here with him as one of my least expensive, give me Kokrak.
Okay. For the next spot, we have four top tens, 12 out of 17 on the cuts, $7,700. S. Munoz. What's his first name?
Sebastian Munoz.
Sebastian
held a huge lead not last week but the week before. And he kind of fell apart himself on day four on Sunday. So I like that Sebastian Munoz play.
Okay.
But with my last pick, I'm going to take the experienced guy. I'm going to take Kevin Streelman. He's only 6,800. He's more than likely going to make this cut. So if you're looking for cheap value for a guy who could maybe sneak into like a top 30, you want to take Kevin Streelman.
All right. 6,800. So coming in to fill out our guy, Father Tone's DraftKings roster, down at the bottom, coming in at $6,100. We're scraping the barrel. Two top tens, 11 for 20 on the cuts.
Okay, plays a lot of golf.
Plays a lot of golf. We have a Canadian in here, Adam Svensson.
Hey, Adam Svensson, 6,100, right?
Yep.
Very nice. Yeah, he's a fairway finder. And at 6,100, I think that's extremely great value.
Definitely. So that's going to be our DraftKings rosters for this week. Hopefully we can see Tony Finau get a dub. That's what we're rooting for.
Yeah, we got a lot going on. Finau, Davis Riley, and who else do we have?
Well, we have Abe.
Yeah, and Abraham Answer. Yeah. So those are, imagine those guys hit the top three. We're going to post this everywhere, and we're going they're going to love us.
Yeah,
forever.
We'll disregard last week's DraftKings, and we're going to publicize this one for sure. Yeah, so we got the PGA this week. We got conference finals that are continuing. Hopefully we get some exciting games.
We got some hockey playoff. I mean, we're not big hockey guys here, but we can appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. We got baseball, which we really don't love here at the LCP.
But we have ourselves a nice little fantasy baseball league that kind of keeps us interested. AJ, you had a big week last week.
Yeah, I'm really starting to rally. I'm finding my place in the league.
Yeah, as long as you keep touch with it, you're going to do just fine, because everyone's already losing interest, which is huge for us, because it's a donation.
Exactly.
You're donating, so you're better to keep track.
Right.
All right.
Well, that's going to wrap us up. Again, shout out to our guy, CJ. Appreciate you. Appreciate the time, the insight, and the information that you provided. Shout out to our guy, Tone, back home. We love you, brother. We're excited for your big day coming up. Shout out to my guy, Nate, just doing his thing.
Thank you, sir. Shout back to you, because you absolutely killed that interview.
Appreciate it.
More to come.
Yeah.
Not the last.
No. So, lots of interviews to follow. So.
Right.
Shout out to the fans for listening.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We've noticed that you've been listening lately, so we appreciate the listens. We've been seeing it. We love you guys. Merch coming soon. If you haven't yet, just check us out on all social medias. You know what to do. Look at the podcast you're listening to. Just type it in. You find us every single time, I promise you. So we appreciate all you guys. For your host, Nate, moderator, AJ, shout out to Coast Tone. We are the Luck Changers, and we are out.
Moderator out.
Peace out of here.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.